And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM, and also going over to our friends on Free FM 89.0, coming out of Kirikiriroa, going throughout the Waikato. And I hope you're having a lovely day out here. It's such a beautiful day now here in Whangarua, warm and sunny, a little bit of wind, good for drying up the paddocks, good for drying the clothes in there probably even too. So hope you're having a good day. And what are we going to bring up today on the show, folks? Well, we'll do some weather probably, some public service announcements, things like that, and gardening to-dos. And then I'm going to share with you a one piece of a, I guess, an international sort of movement from the UK. This one is the People's Food and Farming Alliance. So that's interesting. I hope you're going to get a bit out of that one. It's happening right here in Aotearoa too, but we'll get more into that later on. Before we start the show, I'm going to play this one here by the Muttonbirds, Envy of Angels, live.
wheels, painting signs, measuring the land, marking the lines, laying foundations, making them strong. Those people that haven't been born, and it's just like you said.
Folks, here we are. That was India of Angels live there by the Mutton Birds, as you just heard. And now I'm going to have a look at some weather. And like I said earlier, lovely day out here. And what can we expect coming up in the next sort of week or so? Well, it's going to be a showery southwest flow. It's about to kick off in Aotearoa. But before it does, low pressure near the North Island will be clearing away first. The low is messy and continues to bring areas of heavy rain and drizzly stuff along the eastern side of the North Island, which is going to be mostly kind of around Hawke's Bay, Wairarapa, and Gisborne kind of areas. And what else can I bring you? It's going to be the latest on the rain. Yeah, the rain's going to sort of be here. It's going to ease later on Thursday, maybe Thursday evening by the looks of things, and if not then Friday. And then a colder change is also coming on Friday, which is going to go throughout the nation and bring some snow even to the southern ranges and colder rain showers to many western and southern parts of Aotearoa. And this new southwest setup's going to linger through the weekend and into next week, bringing more surges of showers to the west, far north as Auckland and Northland. What else can I bring you? Right here, around here in the Waikato over the next week or so. Today is 17 degrees they're expecting. Tomorrow they're expecting 15 degrees is the high, and that's going to go right through to Sunday. And Monday, 14, and then 14, 15 into early next week. Nighttime temperature is going to be 10 tonight, 9, then 10, then sort of 12, between 12 and 10 for the rest of the week. So pretty consistent there. And the winds today are southerlies. Tomorrow they'll be south-southwesterlies. Then south-westerlies for the next couple of days. And then west-southwesterlies from Sunday, Monday, and then back to south-westerly. So pretty consistently out of that quarter there. No chance of rain today. What else can we expect? Yeah, maybe a bit of rain Friday. Showers these are. Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, going to be very windy on Sunday. And pretty much tomorrow is going to be kind of like it is today with slightly more of a chance of rain, possibly. So there goes some weather for you. And the humidity today is 79%. And the sun rose this morning at 20 past 7 and will set at 5:16 this evening. The length of visible light is 10 hours and 52 minutes, and the actual day length is 9 hours, 55 minutes, and tomorrow will be 1 minute and 25 seconds shorter than it is today. And the moon, yes, I did see it last night, is a waxing gibbous moon, 98% illuminated. That's because on Friday, there's going to be a full moon. Friday full moon time, so there we are. There's some weather for you, and I'll come back with some public service announcements probably after this one. The song is going to be, if I can find it. I played it a few weeks ago, but there's been a request for it, so I hope you enjoy it. This is Lou Reed, Power and Glory.
Visited by the power and the glory, I was visited by a majestic hymn. Great bolts of lightning lining up the sky, electricity flowing through my veins. I was captured by a larger moment, I was seized by divinity's hot breath. Gorged like the lion on experience, powerful from life.
I want all of it, all of it, all of it. Not just some of it, all of it, all of it.
All of it. I saw a man turn into a bird. I saw a bird turn into a tiger. Saw a man hang from a cliff by the tips of his toes, the jungles of the Amazon. I saw a man put a red hot needle through his eye, turn into a crow and fly through the trees, swallow hot coals and breathe out flames. And I wanted this to happen to me. Into his pocket, we saw the stars disappear from sight. We saw him walk across water into the sun while bathed in eternal light. We spewed out questions waiting for answers, creating legends, religions, and myths. Books, stories, movies, and plays, all trying to explain this. Growing weak as he fought for his life with a bravery few men know. I saw isotopes introduced into his lungs, trying to stop the cancerous spread. And it made me think of Leda and the swan, and gold being made from lead. The same power that burned Hiroshima, causing three-legged babies and death, shrunk to the size of a nickel to help him regain his breath. And I was struck by the power and the glory. I was visited by a majestic hymn. Great bolts of lightning lighting up the sky as the radiation flowed through him.
Read there with Power and Glory off his Magic and Loss album. Hope you enjoyed that. I've got some public service announcements now here on the Over the Fence show. And from, let me Screw these bits of paper. Here we are. Growers' Good Guide to next Tuesday at the Wienera Community Gardens. There's going to be a working bee from 3 to 4.30, which is behind the police station on Wienera Street. If you want to go down and help out Tanya and the crew down there in the gardens, they had a good turnout. I was talking to Tanya the other day. They had a good turnout last one they had, which was great. Kids are welcome, you know, bring your own tools if you want, or they have some tools there, and bring your gloves and water and whatever else to that one. So that's next Tuesday. We near our community gardens behind the police station down there. Working bee from 3 to 4.30. Also, the Waikato branch of the New Zealand Tree Crops Association is having a tree and plant sale on Saturday the 6th of July from 8.30 to 1 o'clock. And the venue is the Hamilton Gardens at the Camellia Car Park, entrance by Gate 2 from Cobham Drive. Everybody welcome to sell and buy in the Waikato branch of the NZTCA. We'll have a stand with club information and assortment of fruiting plants suitable for the home garden. So you can go there, buy, sell, whatever you want to do. So that is the New Zealand Tree Crops Association Waikato branch, Saturday, 6th of July at the Hamilton Gardens, 8.30 to 1 o'clock. Always a popular event, that one. And I am in the motion of getting someone from the New Zealand Tree Crops Association to join the show to have a bit more of a talk about what they do and what that one's all about. And next door, as always, the very good people over there at the Firing at Our Environment Centre have the tool library open. The lovely Jasmine and Nick are in there at the moment, and the seed stands sitting outside, the Arawa seed stands, to grab your seasonal seeds. And they've got some potting mix and containers and things like that as well that you can take home. Seeds, of course, locally grown and donated by our lovely growing community here in Whangaroa. Very good. Okay, well, that'll probably do for that. Now I'm going to play for you a song by The Chills called Underwater Wasteland, live from America. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That was The Chills with Underwater Wasteland. And I've just been chatting to the lovely Susie's coming here with a mate of hers and a dog to talk about the Pink Ribbon Brunch, which is coming up Sunday, 26th of May. So this Sunday at 11th, from 11:30 at the Racking Club, straight over the road here from Racking Community Radio HQ in the Town Hall. And it's all about raising awareness and funds supporting Breast Cancer New Zealand. There's going to be music performed by local maestros. Don't know who they are. Who are they, Susie? All sorts, she says. All of them. Nikki Keys, for example. Yep. All right. And the crew. And so you can bring a small plate to share or just bring yourself. There's going to be gifts, prizes, and plenty of raffles and lots of laughter, music, and some genuinely good vibes. So Mystery Door prize, co-hire entry, music gig tickets, and more all up for grabs. And am I missing anything here, Susie? Okay, so if anybody wants to donate towards gift baskets, be a business or whatever, Susie can make up some gift baskets, things like that. And if you would like any further help, support, going to make a contribution, you can get a hold of Angela Massey via Facebook Messenger or call Tamara Kaliopa on 0204-0780-456. That's 0204-0780-456. Have I missed anything? There we are. So there we are. Pink Ribbon Brunch, Sunday. This Sunday from 11:30. So get yourselves over there and bring some coins and get involved in the raffles and things like that, folks. All right. So I'm going to come back after this with probably some gardening to-dos after the song, which is going to be the B-52s live with their song Give Me Back My Man.
All right. This is a dance tune.
We'll be right back.
The B-52s there with Give Me Back My Man Live. I hope you enjoyed that. Now we're going to do some gardening to-dos here on the Over the Fence show. And if you're gardening by the moon, we have the next few days. The full moon, of course, is like Friday or Thursday, Friday night. And so for the next few days during this stage of the cycle, you can sow some carrots for the winter harvest. And Manchester Table and Scarlet Nantes are good winter varieties. So there we are. Manchester Table and Scarlet Nantes. And I do know you can get the Scarlet Nantes seeds from the Aroha seed stand, because I've got a few at home myself. I'm still meaning to plant. I might get onto that maybe later on today if I get a chance. So there's some Guarded by the Moon things you can do soon. And I'm going to give you some other stuff you can plant in the gardens this month. And those are broad beans, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, chives, collards, corn salad, garlic, kale, kohlrabi, leeks, lettuce, mizuno, I should probably say. I always call it mizuno for some reason. Mustard greens, onions, oregano, pak choy, parsley, peas, radish, rocket, shallots, silver beets, snow peas, spinach, and turnips. That's what you can do for the rest of this month, which is only like a bit over a week or so, believe it or not, folks. And a few other things you can plant are these. Might be a couple of double ups here, but also some flowers and things like that. Alyssum, apples, apricot, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, calendula, carrots, cauliflower, coriander, cyclamen, daffodil, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, feijoa, garlic, hyacinth, kale, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, mesclun, onions, oranges, parsley, peas, pears, bobby, radish, raspberries, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, strawberries, sweet pea and tulips. All you can do right now. And you got it, folks. And I'll come back with our feature for this week's show, a chat about the People's Food and Farming Alliance. And that'll be after this song here by another live song. I don't know why there's so many live songs today, but I hope you're getting into them. This is Radio here with Lotus Flower. Radiohead there with Lotus Flower Live. And now I'll introduce you to the people you're going to be here talking to soon, one of them being Catherine McBean, who has set up the People's Food and the instigator, I suppose, there's quite a few people involved, but the People's Food and Farming Alliance, which is a UK organisation where they are basically it's bringing the food, you know, the growing of and the consumption of food locally, sort of back to community level with the people interacting directly with the farmers, which is happening all over the world, as you will hear coming up. And the person you'll hear sometimes is Pam Gregory, who is an astrologer, who's also who is chatting to Catherine McBean. So here we are, folks. We won't get through it all, but I'll play you some of this anyway. It's about the People's Food and Farming Alliance with Catherine McBean.
And yeah, no, it's an absolute pleasure. As you know, it's something for 15, 20 odd years I've been looking at. And I am so excited to be now at this moment. You can feel the energy. You can feel people getting excited and understanding the necessity to step into our power, to take it back from the central control mechanisms, simply by creating the new, specifically at a community level. And it happens organically, it happens naturally. It doesn't have to be a tussle even. We can just step into it by doing it. It really is that simple. And what's been so exciting is the response we've had from the public, who are now in their droves growing their own or setting up community growing groups, coming together to find the solutions. And something we've been working on quite heavily since the new year is about connecting farmers and producers with their local consumers, if you like, and the consumers reaching out and asking, how can we help you? How can we make life easier for you? And so we've been building the models, we've been building the examples, we've been sharing the Zooms, coming at it from all angles. And again, do go and have a look at our YouTube channel or our website for a bit more information. But the people are embracing it. They understand now very much the position that we're all in. And it's an incredible opportunity, this moment in history, an incredible opportunity to step into our power and just make it happen. And we all need food. You know, we all need food. But it's not just nutritional benefits we get from it. It's out working in the soil. If we're healing the soil, we're healing ourselves. And the fresh air, the working with nature, the quiet surroundings quite often. And the ability then, the joy, is to then share that produce, your glut, share it with people locally. There are so many health benefits for us and for others around us. I could go on for hours about it.
Yeah, and you know, this is so close to my heart as well. And Dr. Zach Bush talks about this a lot. We can't have a healthy microbiome unless we've got healthy soil. And supermarkets have really pushed farmers into monocropping, which I know we've discussed in the past, and that's very unhealthy for the soil. So I know the PFFA really supports traditional rotation of crops, and a lot of your growers are also organic as well. I mean, there's so much I want to talk about here, because you've got many different expressions of how the PFFA is working. I mean, one aspect that really intrigued me is the Open Food Network, which I understand was an idea that was birthed in Australia. So this is creating, it's building a better food system for the world. And I thought that was just amazing. So it isn't just the UK. I think you've got about 200 shops in the UK under that banner, but it's now actually global. So can you tell us a bit about that, Catherine, the Open Food Network, and how that operates?
Yeah, I'd advise everyone to go and look at the website. So how it works is you can find a map wherever you are in the world and find your local, if you like, food hubs, producers and farmers. It fundamentally is an opportunity, and there's a map of the UK. So you can go on there. There's lots and lots of different spots that you can see where you can go and buy, be it directly from the farmer or producer. You could be buying from a local food shop or a local food hub, and you could be buying from an individual. I mean, Doris at number 94 can put her Bramley apples on there if she wants to share with the world. It's absolutely all encouraged, and it's all beautiful. I love that side of it. And so for example, something at PFFA we're doing, and we work closely with the Open Food Network, we work closely with the pharmacy. Again, time of competition is gone. It's time to come together and collaborate and support each other. And what they're doing is helping groups open up local food hubs. The UK contact, a gentleman called Nick Weir, will literally get on Zooms with individuals and talk them through the process. And again, if you want to know what a food hub is, go and have a look on the PFFA site. But it can be different for everyone. There's no rule. It could be a place whereby it is used as a retail outlet. So local people, be it farmers or producers or just people in their back gardens, can bring produce to sell. It could be somewhere where people gather together, be it farmers and consumers, come together to plan what the farmer said. What do you want next season? What do you want next harvest? What do you want us to grow or to rear or to generate for you? So that then the farmers can work with the community. So there's not a great deal of wastage. They know exactly what they're doing. And in advance, the consumers, the people in the local community, they know what they're going to receive. It could also be a place where you run a food bank, for example, if there isn't one in your local area. Could you set up a food bank? Could you use it as a place to run a food box system or bring other things in like that? Could you connect with the pharmacy cooperative, another one of our partners, and help them set up a system in your local area? There are so many opportunities, but food hubs will become the place of the future, not the ones that we see by the global people, but what you produce, the local food hubs that you produce and develop in your area, and how they can be used. And another way that they can work is to, one of the problems farmers have in maybe moving away from dealing directly with the supermarkets and large processors is the fact that they no longer have that direct route to market. And one of the reasons it's difficult is because there aren't local processing units anymore, whether that be in terms of the animals, whether that be a mill of, a windmill or a water mill or whatever. A lot of these aren't around or have certainly slowed right down. So actually the community can help by helping farmers get these processing units open. And it's down to we, the people, let's be honest, let's make that happen. We can get these units open, come together with people in the local area. Maybe that your food hub group will go apply a bit of pressure to the council properly, or maybe it's a case of you're going to find investment to help get those units open. And that way the farmer doesn't have to feel they're obliged to work directly with the supermarkets. They can actually process their produce at a local level and distribute it directly from there. So there is so much we can do and are capable of doing. And that way, let's be honest, we're going to remove a lot of the chemicals and a lot of other not nice processing processes, if you like, that in order that can have an impact on our health. This way we can be moving towards a far healthier, more nutritional diet, and we have far much more control at a local level.
Yeah, beautiful. And again, for the astrologers, this is reminds me so much of the archetype of Homer, this kind of regeneration, this love of the earth. And I was also astonished listening to one of the PFFA videos, Catherine, that farmers have been very squeezed, so they're only making around a penny in the pound for producing their produce, even though they work incredibly hard. And in the UK, 90% of food sales go through 7 large supermarket corporations. I mean, that's extraordinary in terms of centralised power. So PFFA is almost going back to the old-fashioned, the traditional way of farming, isn't it? And what I love also is the complete transparency about the food hubs as well, that you can see you've got an online system, as I understand it, so people can actually order their fruit and veg boxes online and they can see who actually produced, the cabbage or the cucumber or whatever, and the amount of money that is going to that producer. It's completely transparent. So it really is cutting out the middleman and literally buying direct from the farmer. And that is just win-win all around. It's a big win for the farmers who've been under so much pressure. It's wonderful for us as individuals to feel we really are supporting our local community. I mean, I haven't been to a supermarket for over 4 years now. I'm not planning to go again because I have an organic fruit and veggie box that's delivered every week from UK growers. I love it. No packaging, just a cardboard box, really fresh from the fields. I mean, what's not to like about that? It's just wonderful. Yes. But I think I was very impressed the way the food hubs have got to the state where they really are offering an online service. And I thought, wow, that has come such a long way in a short time.
Yeah. It's brilliant. The Open Food Network is fantastic. And it's an open source platform, which is for somebody non-techie like me. It means it's very much more led by the people. There's not someone up there at on top making it happen. The people are very much involved with its development, which is wonderful. But you're right. This is it. You know, like we say, Beryl or whoever at number 90, she can put her apples on there. If she wants to charge money, she can. If she doesn't, she doesn't. If you want to buy from a food hub, you can see where every single item has been sourced from, who that local supplier is, what they're getting paid, what you're paying, what the hub's making. It is totally transparent. And for me, that's the way forward. No more things done behind closed doors. It's all very, very transparent. And so you're building trust naturally by being that transparent. You've got nothing to hide. And the Open Food Network is fantastic. I'd encourage everyone to go and look at the website. They're doing an incredible job at the moment. And this is the way forward. And like I say, if you want to form a food hub, we're working with them. You can come to us. You can go to Open Food Network and get advice. But the important thing is to get on with it and to get these open. And one thing I loved is Nick was giving us an example that one of their hubs is the back of a pub. They've got a spare room up the back. The delivery of the produce comes in on a certain day each week. Volunteers box it up and then the consumers come and collect it. That simple. It doesn't need to be convoluted and difficult. It can be that simple. And with the Open Food Network platform, you can organise it all online. They can help you do all that. It doesn't need to be difficult, but it is definitely taking a far more traditional approach to how we produce food, how we buy food and how we consume food. And I'm just so excited. It's really about time now.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm so excited, not only listening to you, but listening to the videos as well. I mean, this is just, you know, because I'm such a lover of nature and organic food, and, you know, it's just so close to my heart. You know, we need to take back control, and that's what I absolutely love. And I love the fact also that if producers sell via the hubs, there's no charge to them for doing that. They can do that completely for free. Or if they want to sell direct from their farm without using the hub, there's a 2.4% charge for them in advertising.
I believe so.
Yeah, via the hub. Yeah. But, you know, it's so transparent. It's so open. And it will also just reconnect people with their local farmers. You know, this is building community in another way, isn't it?
And also that, you know, we have to bear in mind that in reality and for a number of years, we've seen an increase in mental health issues in farming.
Yeah.
That's been no secret. It's been around for years, but people are only sort of becoming aware of it nowadays, which is great. People are jumping on it. And I personally, and I have nothing to back this up, but I personally believe when farmers were led down the road to become disconnected from their communities and work directly with the large processors or the supermarkets, they've lost that support network. They've lost that interaction. They've lost those relationships over time. It's just been happening very slowly. And also apply the difficult financial pressures and so forth that they're under, and that does make things very difficult. And I'm very hopeful, Pam, that as farmers start to become aware of what we're doing and start to reconnect with local people, we will help to eliminate or certainly alleviate some of these pressures or some of these concerns farmers are having, so they're able to heal and they're able to trust and they're able to reconnect. And I think that's something which is almost a beautiful byproduct of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
All right, folks, here we are. I think we'll leave it there for today. But that was Catherine McBean speaking mostly there from the People's Food and Farming Alliance. So if you just look that up, you'll be able to find out more about that. And there's lots of things like this, different sort of style of things going on around the world. And that was Pam Gregory she was talking to there. So I hope you enjoyed that. And I forgot earlier when I was doing my public service announcements to say that save the date, volunteers in Whangaroa 4. Sunday, June the 16th. Sunday, June the 16th is going to be a Volunteers Celebration Day here in the Raglan Town Hall in the afternoon. More details for that. Keep your eyes out for that. There's more details coming up for that one. So that's Sunday, June the 16th, Volunteers Celebration sort of day, event sort of thing here in the Town Hall. Sunday afternoon, that'll be June the 16th. And also just had the lovely Denise drop in here from the New Zealand Tree Crops Association, which is part of the Waikato branch. And this Sunday from 2 to 3.30 up Phillips Road, which is near towards Aotea Harbour, there's going to be a field trip thing happening out there called the Permacroft. And it's on some people's properties. You just bought a bare paddock of kaikui grass and have converted it into – they built a house there and they're converting it into –
you know, growing a lot of their own food and things like that. So that's 498 Ruby Lane, which is off Phillips Road. That's this Sunday from 2 to 3.30, called the Permacroft. If you want to find out anything more about that, look up New Zealand Tree Crops Association on Facebook and things like that, or go to waikato at treecrops.org.nz, waikato at treecrops.org.nz. And yes, like I say, hopefully next week we will be talking to someone from New Zealand Tree Crops Association. So there we are, folks. That's pretty much the show. If you want to, and thanks for listening, by the way. If you want to check it out on it's Over the Fence podcast or Over the Fence Radio Show at gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with me, give me any feedback, good, bad, otherwise, whatever. And thanks for listening, whether that be live or streaming, or you can pick up pretty much all my old shows on the Out of the Archives off regularradio.com. So there we are. It's a show for another week, and I'll be back next week, and I'm going to leave you this one here. It's by Veruca Salt with a song, again, live, called Seether. Have a great week, everybody. Ka kite.
Hey, little ghost.